Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free.
Snowmaker, it is now 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we would like to open up with prayer. Intention prayer. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the accursed of Satan. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of this Day of Judgment in which we now live. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee do we beseech for help, and thee do we serve. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed favors. Siratal ladina anamta allahim, ghayril maghdubi allahim. Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. You are in the right place. You did not make a mistake. Hold it right there, and while you do so, invite somebody else. This is where you get your weekly updates. The Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call is where you get the truth about the vaccine, so-called, about the virus, whatever it might be, and the mandates and all the rest of it. So hold it right here. You are in the right place. You did not make a mistake. Show that you care by sharing the link with somebody. Family, friends, somebody that you're acquainted with, co-workers, students, teachers, doctors, nurses, everybody. As Calvin Rolock used to say on the D.C. City Council, la-di-da-di and everybody. So call everybody that you know and let them know that the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call is broadcasting loud and clear. Sometimes we call it the hour of truth. And we hurl truth at falsehood, trying to knock falsehood's brains out. But the main purpose of the Your Immunity Project is survival. We consider the Your Immunity Project to be the community grassroots response to the so-called COVID-19 pandemic. And then the assault with the mandatory vaccination campaign and all the rest of it. This is the community's grassroots response to what's going on all around us. And so this is where you get what the military would call situational awareness, awareness of everything that's going on, not just one thing, not just that thing, not just the other thing, but everything that is taking place. We consider that what is taking place is war, biological war being waged against, it looks like, the entire planet. We are aware of the depopulation agenda, and we have to take that very seriously. And we are not enthralled any longer, hypnotized, if you will, by the official narrative that never made any sense, that has caused an epidemic of confusion. And so the antidote to that confusion coming from the war propaganda of the depopulation agenda is the Your Immunity Zoom conference call. So welcome, you're in the right place. We get right into it. We operate according to five principles. Some of you might be new. This might be the first time that you ever heard about the Your Immunity Project. What is that? Well, we are the grassroots response, and we operate according to five basic principles. Principle number one is prevention. Whether you're talking about a virus, whether you're talking about the spike protein, the self-spreading prion that's in the shot, prevention is number one. And as Benjamin Franklin said it, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure anytime. And so Paxlovid is used to prevent the spread of the virus, but Paxlovid does not prevent the spread of the spike protein. And so this, the solution to prevent the spread of the spike protein from becoming contaminated, if you will, by the spike protein from people who have received the shot, total avoidance, self-quarantine. The second principle that we operate according to is diagnosis. You have to know what you're talking about. We found out over the last year that the PCR test is worthless. Well, actually, it's fraudulent. They calibrated it to the common cold. So the hundreds of millions of people who were told that they were COVID-19 positive and are still being told that they're COVID-19 positive, all they're really being told is that they're positive for the common cold. And just like the common cold, the so-called COVID-19 virus has a recovery rate of 99%+. And so diagnosis is lacking for the spike protein. The only way that you can tell if someone has received the vaccine is if they're willing to tell you, if they're willing to tell you the truth. And so there is no diagnostic test for the spike protein unless, now listen carefully to this one. Probably the diagnostic test for the spike protein is the HIV test because that's what the old HIV test used to detect, was the spike protein that was on the HIV virus. And many people have already found out that they tested positive for HIV. That may be the only diagnostic test available to indicate the spike protein's presence. But that's not a very good test. And then, of course, the third principle is treatment. Treatment with the Paxlovid for any virus, whether it's the original COVID-19 virus, whether it's the variants that came along, the Delta, the Epsilon, the Lu, the Mu, we're on the Omicron right now. Okay, it doesn't matter. The low-dose alpha interferon will handle any virus. Anthony Fauci warning governments about smallpox, another virus. It doesn't matter. The low-dose interferon will handle any virus. But what about treatment for the spike protein? Well, that's a different matter. There is no treatment, and that's why avoidance is paramount. Now, you have to avoid it. As far as I know, there's no going back. There's no detox from the spike protein. It takes over the machinery, even the nucleus of your cells. It dominates your DNA. You see, so avoidance, there's no treatment. Now, we're doing research. That's the fourth principle. So you're going to hear from our research team later in the call tonight. We do our own clinical trials. We answer our own questions. We don't listen to the liars. We don't listen to people like Anthony Fauci, whatever his name is. He doesn't tell the truth. So why should you pay attention to what he says? NIH does not tell the truth. The FDA does not tell the truth. The CDC does not tell the truth. The White House does not tell the truth. The mainstream media does not tell the truth. They are all liars. And everything that they have said from beginning to now concerning COVID-19 and all the rest of it has been a pack of lies. And so this is where we uncover not just the lies. It's not enough to just uncover the lies, but you have to establish the positive truth. And we do it by adhering to those five principles. And the fifth one, of course, is education. We're on that one right now. That's what this call is all about, educating the public, educating the average person who who never went to medical school or who doesn't know everything about vaccinations and all the rest of it, but bring you up to speed so that you can actually think for yourself and make independent decisions before you make a mistake that later on you live or die to regret. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Those five principles: prevention, diagnosis, treatment, research, and education. And so keep those in mind as time goes on. You notice, like everybody else, you notice that they change the definition of everything. They've changed the definition of what a vaccine is. They've changed the definition of what fully vaccinated means. They change everything. Arbitrariness is the name of the game. And when someone is being very arbitrary, it means that they're not telling you the truth. And so we try to get rid of the arbitrariness so that you have something that you can go on, because these are literally life and death issues that will not go away just simply because somebody wants to bury their head in the sand. No, you must confront the reality of what's taking place. And that's what we do on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, and you are welcome and you are in the right place. So now I want to begin with a disclaimer. I have to always give a disclaimer because I am a medical doctor. And sometimes people think I'm giving you personal advice. No, I'm not. I'm talking in general principles to the general public, and do not take anything that's said on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call as personal medical advice or legal advice or financial advice. No, we're just a source of ideas and information. And like we always say, listen to everybody and everything, but then think for yourself. Make your own decisions. You see, so don't get carried away. So I want to give some good news. First report, it should be good news, and the last one hopefully tonight will be good news. We usually end with testimonials from the field, people calling with reports. See, isn't that the general orders that you receive and pass on reports from posts more distant from the temple than your own? I think that's the general order, one of them. So that's what we do. We pass on reports. So we hear from Australia, we hear from Trinidad, we hear from the UK and other parts on the globe. And so people call in with your reports. Now, let me just say before I move on, some of you have my email, and you know my email has been attacked. So the best way to get your reports, you send it to me thinking that I'm going to repeat what you sent to me. But what you actually should do is call in on the call and give your own report. Don't send it to me to give all of the reports. You know, I need to take a drink of water sometime. So, but the good news report is that we still have plenty of the Paxlovid in stock. Not an overwhelming supply now. So if you're wondering whether you should stock up or not, the answer is yes, you should. And I would do that right away. The way the inventory is moving, what we have in stock right now ready for shipping will not last very long. So to order your Paxlovid, DrAlim.com. Spell the word doctor all the way out, DrAlim.com. And you can order it by the single bottle, or to get a discount, then you buy it by the case. People ask me that, well, can I get a discount? Of course you can. Buy it by the case. That's a steep discount. You see, so buy it by the case, and then you got your discount. But again, the main point is not a discount or not. The main point is to save your life and to save the lives of other ones. Some people celebrate this time of year as holiday season, Kwanzaa, Christmas, you know, Hanukkah, all kinds of celebrations around this time of the year, where people give gifts and have celebrations, families, get-togethers, friends, congregate, all kinds of happy things taking place. We'll make it safe and happy by giving a gift of life, which is the Paxlovid. So DrAlim.com is where you can find that gift of life that you could give to someone rather than, they don't need more socks. Honestly, they really don't need another pair of socks. So give them some Paxlovid. Now, the good report is that the new production cycle probably will begin as soon as tomorrow. which means that maybe a month from now, we'll have a fresh supply. Now, the kind of bad news, but not unexpected, is that there's going to be a price hike in 2022. So that's another reason to stock up now at the old price level. So I don't know exactly what the new prices are going to be, but inflation strikes everywhere, and it strikes everybody. So there would be a there will be a price hike in 2022. So stock up now, DrAlim.com. What else did I want to say about that? I think that might be it. No, yes, no, yes, yes. That's everything on the Paxson. So let us now move to our other reports. Sister Najma, do we have the research? Someone on the research on the line? Let's hear from our research team. It's very, very important. When I show you some of the headlines later in the call, you're going to see how very, very important the research effort is to everything we're trying to do. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Daoud here.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Daoud, our IT specialist.
Okay, thank you very much. So some of what I'll report, and pardon me, I'm in the car currently. But absolutely, yeah, we're safe and we're on Bluetooth and hands-free, so I can speak and not watch. So some of the latest updates, we do count that there are 78 new sign-ups that are signing up for phase two of the clinical trial when it's ready. And as Dr. Nadia explained to me 2 weeks ago, that we'll release that sometime towards the end of January. The phase two set of questions will be ready. The phase one set of questions are still going through the process so that all the data from those can be properly assessed. And we get that information back and understand whatever trends were seen there. Oh, perfect. I'll be able to pull over here. Besides that, I did want to show at least a mock version of our passport that will display on the app. So we weren't prepared to display that on Zoom, but I'd ask for anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes in next week's call, so we can actually do share on Zoom and walk everyone through the additions and changes that have taken place in the app, how that QR code displays. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Indeed. One thing with that, in the news, if you notice, hackers attacked Brazil's COVID passport database. And basically what they're seeking to do, those hackers are trying to dismiss the validity or any thought of validity of the COVID passports and make those that are currently in use essentially obsolete by hacking the entire system. So it may come down at some point that there's no validity to them if these hackers end up getting their hands on the U.S. database as well. So just some of the things that have been noticed, that's about where everything is at right now.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. I mean, I'm so excited about what you said. You're actually going to give us a demonstration next week of the app and our version of a COVID passport.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll do that next week for about 15 minutes. And
push the applause button. Let the trumpet flare.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic news. And, of course, next week is the winter solstice. It's the winter solstice. So that's a very important time to introduce something new to take us into the new year. So thank you very much. That's a very encouraging report.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Wow. Did you hear that? You see, now, this is a high-tech situation that we're dealing with. In certain countries, you know, these COVID passports, like, I don't know if Brother Ruben from Australia is on the line, but he'll tell you what he has to go through just to buy groceries or to take his daughter for medical appointments. You know, so this is a reality that may seem dim and distant to some of us right now, but believe me, it's right around the corner. By the way, is Brother Reuben on the line from Australia?
Yes, yes sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead. What's going on down under?
I'm very happy to be here with everyone today. It's nearly lunch, the lunch hour here, as they say, nearly midday. But greetings to everyone and the listeners. Thank you for coming on the show. And as always, let's share. Let everyone know to come on. And if they're not able to come on now, share with them the recording later on so they can benefit from this. I get a wonderful feedback from people in Africa, people in Mexico, all over the world. You know, I share too with as many people as possible. But quickly, I want to continue on what you just mentioned, Dr. Lin. Yes, that's very true here. We have to go through hell. The unvaccinated have to go through hell just to get on with daily life. You need to QR scan everywhere you go, including, and well, you know, the unvaccinated can only go to three or four things right now, which is the supermarket to get groceries, the drugstore to get any medicines, hospital, and in the hospitals only for emergency. If you have general therapy, treatment, and other things that, you know, you normally do as part of your normal health routine, like, for example, for my daughter, many of those now we cannot attend because we're not vaccinated. They're indoors and you're not vaccinated. So basically, you know, you're not allowed to go there. They will not let you in. So in the fourth place they allow you to go is, of course, to get vaccinated. So, you know, they'll let you have that one. And now the vaccination hubs are everywhere. It's not just the hospitals or you know, the stadiums or whatever the government had set up as designation vaccination hubs. Now, basically, your local drugs, I mean, there's a vaccination spot on every, you know, few blocks, basically, you know, every shopping mall, you can drive in. I mean, they're everywhere. And, of course, we've gone up. I haven't checked the latest numbers. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, we're almost at 96% or probably even more now, because Omicron has got everyone scared to death here. And so, you know, they've been pushing very hard, you know, go get the jab. And one of the things they did yesterday, if anyone watching news, they did open the borders for Queensland, up north, the northernmost state, named after, you know, the Queen. It's Queensland. The borders came down yesterday. So many families who were not able to get together for, you know, it's been for them was I think something like 400 days, you know. It's been a long time. The borders have been closed, you know, between states.
So you're talking about internal borders between states.
Internal borders between states. The seven states here in Australia, and every one of them did whatever they did. Here in Melbourne, in the state of Victoria, named after Queen Victoria, we're down south, and we had a what they call the Ring of Steel, which is physical concrete barriers, as well as police, set up checkpoints and check posts, military, and helicopters. So you could not go across a river. You could not sneak across four-wheel drive. You know, there was no way around. And also sea, because those who had money tried to get on their boat and kind of go around the sea up north, and they got busted too. So they had the Coast Guard looking. So, yeah, it was a, you know, Ring of Steel, exactly like they told it. And that has opened up now. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're a prisoner in your own country.
Correct. In your own state, and as far as for the unvaccinated, in your own suburb. So it's very real what we go through here. And the next thing they want to add on, because Brother Dawood mentioned electronic passports and electronic certificates and vaccination certificates. We use an electronic passport together with a physical passport, but it has a what they call a RFID chip inside your passport. So that will be added on very shortly, so you don't have to carry your phone, or those who don't have smartphones or don't want to show their, what, you know, their vaccination certificate. on their phone. That will be now be attached to your passport. So you cannot cheat. There's no way around it. And wherever you want to go, they're going to know or give you access or deny you access to countries, you know, because we are being able to fly out. So far, it's been people flying in, mainly citizens who were locked out of the country, because not only were we not allowed to go out, but citizens were not allowed to come back in. So many people who had taken a holiday nearly 2 years ago, 640 days, I think it is, the exact days, were stuck. So if you had gone to America or England, I mean, just to give you a simple number, there was 35,000 Aussies stuck in London who couldn't come back. So, you know, God help you if you'd gone for a quick holiday and you had money for 2 weeks and now all of a sudden you've been up there for 640 days and, you know, hotel or in, you know, no work because, you know, you're not allowed to work when you're a tourist. I mean, it's
right.
Hell. The multiple stories, you can go online and read all the different stories. One other thing that is happening here, today is December the 15th here in Australia. We're Wednesday already. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I have mentioned that they had a pandemic law that was coming in. Today is the day it actually comes in, December the 15th. Now, in short, very harsh, what the pandemic bill does or pandemic law allows is that we are now moving from a state of emergency into a state of pandemic. What they did with the short version is we have the vaccine mandates here like you have throughout the world. The jab or the job, and, you know, you got to scan in and you're not allowed to go anywhere else unless, you know, anywhere unless you're vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they're mandates. And even though they're crafted in something that sounds like law, they actually are not law. So what the governors here did in a very sneaky way, in this state particularly, is they crafted laws behind that such that because the mandates are not official law for them to enforce, because, for example, they removed the mandates on lawyers and judges because they knew immediately these are legal people and attorneys. They know this is not a legal thing. It's unconstitutional. They were going to challenge it. They have to be vaccinated to come in their own courtroom. Yeah, right. You know, so they exempted them. And of course, then people said, wait a minute, how come they're exempt? We're people too. We're under the same constitution. How come? Well, yeah. The government didn't want to have a fight with them. But so they went behind the scenes and crafted laws that they passed in the middle of Sunday night. In fact, it's a little bit of comedy if you want to see how they kept all the senators and members of parliament up into the night over many nights. They're falling asleep in parliament, you know, trying to stay up to pass the bill. And finally, they all, you know, pass the bill and they could go home in the early hours of the morning. But it's a little bit of comedy because you see them all falling asleep, smacking each other, pouring water on each other. Wake up, you know, we've got to vote on this thing. And finally, because they dragged it out for so long, you know, they got the one extra vote they needed. That's all they needed. It was a tie, but they needed one vote. So that's how it passed.
That's, you know, sleep deprivation is a well-known form of torture.
Oh, correct. Correct. So, you know, they made them suffer until they got the vote, and then, all right, you can go home now, you know? And that was on a Sunday. These people don't meet. They can hardly get them to come to work, you know? And here they are on a weekend on a Sunday, you know? So what happens today? We don't know. We're hoping to get an announcement at 12 o'clock. So very shortly, in the next few minutes, we'll start, you know, Twitter will come out and start saying the premiers are doing a live conference. Because now he will say, I am the premier. We're now moving from a state of emergency. I'm the boss now, and they're calling him dictator now, because basically he has dictatorial powers. And the fines that I mentioned before, they're very harsh. They've gone from, you know, $450, $500 to $20,000, $40,000 for protesting. Businesses that allow someone like myself who's not vaccinated in to sit down at a restaurant. I mean, I'm not going to any restaurants anymore, but if, you know, there are many people who are not vaccinated who are saying, well, you know, I still want to go and enjoy life. So, you know, they go into a restaurant or they go shopping. You know, you want to go buy clothes. If somebody allows you in well, they can get up to a $500,000 fine per incident. So basically, you know, you'll be bankrupted as a business, you'll be bankrupted as an individual. And keep in mind, these are state fines. So this is not something you can play with, because the state has powers to come and garnish your pay, which is go to your boss and say, well, you know, Dr. Lee Moses, X amount of money, you've got to take all this, you know, give us all this money until this is paid off. So they can hit your paycheck, they can hit your bank account, they can put liens and sell you up from your property, your house where you live. So they'll collect their money, basically, you know, and have you out in the street and homeless, destitute, whatever it is. So these are very draconian type laws. They're coming into effect in the next 30 minutes. And this has been the cause. If people have been watching the news, the riots, the protests. I mean, they're not even on the news anymore, but you've got to go online, because social media is good, because those who are out on the streets protesting every day, every weekend, fighting with the police and all of those things, they show the weekend ones, they don't show the ones during the week. But if you drive through the city, you know, all of a sudden you find it's taking you 2 hours instead of 10 minutes to get across. It's because, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people everywhere protesting. Really? This is why the people are out there, because all of a sudden you could find yourself in a jam with the state. And they have removed the 2-year jail term. So, you know, the fines and all of those things is probably bad enough anyway, but they're not going to lock you up for 2 years. However, I think word is that the news broadcasters who are getting ready for the press conference have been hinting that they've heard they're going to give a concession today. And the concession will be something along these lines. You can take off the masks indoors. Now, that's a very scary thing, because we're coming into Christmas. And, of course, the shops are open, late-night shopping, so everyone can go get their Christmas presents and whatnot. So you can imagine, this is the busiest time. The only other busier time for shopping is the New Year's sales, where everyone is, you know, it's like a stampede. Well, we all know what's going to happen with all of these people, tens of thousands in the malls with no masks on. So we know what's going to happen. There will be more spread of the Omicron that they're also scared of, and whatever other variants are out there. And but that may be the concession they're talking about giving to keep the population kind of calm, not to protest too much about what's happening today. So this is a reality on the ground here. Yes, in 30 minutes, there should be a press conference. So, and that's available to anyone. So, you know, you can go on Twitter, go on Facebook, and it comes on everywhere, you know, so you can watch what's happening here. Anyone can watch from anywhere in the world exactly what they'll do. Of course, the damage, the winds, the flooding, the hail is hit the wheat belt here, the states that grow produce, the fruits and whatnot. So the food shortages are here. They're already telling us, look, your prices are going through the roof. I was at their store yesterday as an example. And, you know, for those who love their steaks and beef, we're talking already $50, $65 a kilo right now, you know. So everyone's grocery bill for Christmas, they're already saying, wait a minute, you know, this is crazy. I'm spending twice as much as what I spent last year for Christmas shopping, just for food, you know, because everyone has their get-togethers and parties and turkey and all of those things that they do. So this is very real. And, of course, everyone's saying, but, you know, we're on a budget. We're all, money is tight for everyone. We haven't worked. We haven't done this. We haven't done that. The grain shortages are very real. I know on your side of the world, you had the weather event in Kentucky and others happening over the last week where, you know, there was devastation. This is very real, and we need to prepare family, because on the flip side of that, the countries that can assist, Russia and China with international trade and sharing of food, well, they've already said, we're going to feed our own citizens first, and we are putting quotas. In fact, China banned export of fertilizer. So they're saying, whatever we have, we're not sharing with the world. We're going to keep it and grow food for our people first. And, you know, everyone is fending for themselves. So food shortages are coming to you wherever you are in the world. This is real as well. Very quickly, we've heard, I mean, there's all that bickering going on with the Winter Olympics. Australia jumped in there with America to boycott. And again, you know, the boycotting is something that we're that we're not actually even invited to. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a running joke here in you know, with the Chinese people and, you know, friends who are having China saying, well, they're talking about boycotting an invitation that they were never invited to. But, you know, that's a political game they're playing. We expect China itself as a nation to pass some very harsh, maybe, sanctions against Australia. They already did that early in the year with importing of, they put tariffs on beef and grain and other things. China will retaliate. And while all of that is going on, in fact, I just got a tweet that the live stream from the health minister is on now, so they came in half an hour earlier. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have something to report to everyone. But also, very interesting things going on with China. Many of their moneyed people, billionaires, had invested and gone with the West in order to secure doses of Pfizer, Moderna, and others. Well, guess what? The Chinese government has refused mRNA vaccines. They have their own vaccine. However, many of those who invested with these companies hoping to, you know, be able to spread billions of doses of Pfizer's vaccine, they've seen their wealth come down tremendously. The Chinese government has said, we don't want nothing to do with mRNA for now. We don't know what they're going to do next year, but for now. So many of those have seen their wealth come down, many of those money people in China. And something very interesting on the continent of Africa, specifically South Africa. Many things are happening on the African continent, but we know South Africa has received the blame for this new variant, Omicron. Well, the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, was very kind to his citizens in South Africa by basically saying, look, we're not doing any mandates here. And of course, if you understand the economy of South Africa, many of it is, you know, hand to mouth, basically. You know, many of the citizens, I know they say it's a democratic country now, and, you know, Mandela's president, they got how many black presidents since Mandela, but things are worse off, very bad for, yeah, you know, the black people there. Now, he said, look, we're not putting any mandates on anyone. Whether you're vaccinated or not, go about your business. You're free to go about, participate. They're not asking you, are you vaxxed, not vaxxed? He was very kind. He did a general, I think it was 2 in the morning I saw it, assembly, a broadcast to the nation. And lo and behold, the next day, now we're hearing on the news, he's very sick. He got COVID and they got him in hospital. So really? Let's keep our eye on that, yes, because we've seen what has happened to other presidents who have not only rejected the vaccines from the West, you know, they've been assassinated. They've had mysterious deaths, you know. And all of a sudden, this man is saying, look, we're not going to force you to do anything. Do what you want. It's available, but go about your business. And so we obviously, there's not going to be a huge uptake among the African people in South Africa. And all of a sudden, he's sick now. So I'm going to jump off because I want to hear from everybody else. But, you know, let's keep our eyes on what's going on, especially around the world, because, you know, these things will come to affect us all one way or another. And the quicker we can prepare, the better off we will be and hopefully find an exit out of this whole mess sooner rather than later. So thank you, Dr. Lim. I'll be on the phone for any questions from any listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Ruben from Australia. International news, things taking place all over the world that affect you here. And so you hear it right here on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. So we want to move ahead here and take a look at some of the headlines. So Sister Najma, if you could pull that up quickly. The time is upon us. And okay, yes. So now this is something I've shown before. We want to always keep in mind what the overall agenda is, despite what is being said in terms of public health measures, mandates, and all the rest of it. The overall agenda is depopulation. And so when they report that 4.3 million workers are missing, or that 120,000 truck drivers are missing, you have to wonder what the true situation might be. Next image, please. Everybody can't be on vacation. And so this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek. Pfizer wants to thank taxpayers, all the taxpayers, for record $37 billion profit in the last quarter, in the last 3 months, $37 billion profit. And, of course, they, I think nine of their top executives became billionaires over the last year or so. And so they want to give a thanks to all of us suckers out here who made this possible. Next image, please. Not that any of us on this call are suckers. Now, this was the interview we did in Sweden. That's Mr. Curtis Kost. He's been on the front lines of the anti-vaccine campaign. So that's the News Voice. That's the website. You can catch that interview on that website. So News Voice is where you want to go. Next image, please. Yes, and now what's going on all over the country is federal judges are halting Biden's COVID-19 mandates. Now, that's in my estimation, in my opinion, while that's a good thing, that certainly is a good thing to get those judgments, but it's also kind of like the red flag that's distracting the bull. The matador has a spike. The mandate is like the red flag, and you're charging the red flag, and you think that you're successful in avoiding the red flag, but you didn't avoid the spike protein, you see, which is behind the matador's back. So the federal judges are halting the mandates, but it doesn't halt the spread of the spike protein, the self-spreading vaccine. Next image. Next image, please. Can you blow that up a little bit? Yeah. Where's my dad? Yes, it is just, it's just, this was a cartoon somebody posted. Ha ha, you can't go to restaurants or sporting events. Yeah, but look what's happening to those of you who can. You see, and we're going to get into what some of this cartoon is attempting to portray. You see, so don't feel bad if you can't go to restaurants or sporting events, because those who do, okay, eat, drink, and be merry for what? Tomorrow you die. Next image, please. Now, some of the behavior changes that you're seeing taking place, remember, many of the people who received the shot, they received trillions of these nano-sized transistors that receive radio frequency signals. You see, so some of the things that you see, like the smash and grab, the question has to be asked, is that voluntary behavior on the part of those people, or are they being programmed? Are they being given mind control signals through the 5G network or some other network that's connected to the shot that they receive? I would like to know the vaccine status of the people who are engaged in smash and grab. Did they get the shot or not? See, that would help to answer the question. And, of course, it's not just people engaged in smash and grab activities. What about public officials who were vaccinated? Could they possibly be mind controlled? Anybody who got the shot, could they be mind controlled through radio signals? You see, when you see leaders making stupid decisions, making idiotic statements in public, well, are they really speaking their own mind, or are they being controlled? And so that question has to be asked nowadays. And this, of course, applies to people in your own family, people in your workplace, people in your school or wherever you might hang out at. Some of those people got vaccines. Have you noticed behavioral changes in some of those people? And could they be controlled, you know, just by frequencies? Questions that have to be answered. Next image, please. Yeah, this is the smash and grab. This was a film put out by Disney, their Pixar division. And so smash and grab were robots. Smash and grab were two robots. And the name tells you what they did. They smashed and grabbed glowing rocks in the movie. And so are the people who are smashing and grabbing in Nordstrom's and other high-end retail outlets? Are they robots that are being programmed to smash and grab? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Next image, please. Yeah, dozens of athletes dropping like flies. Well, that actually doesn't fit with this. But now this is the National Health Service from England, the COVID pass. And so the reality of it is that what happens when your vax pass expires, it means you have to go get another booster. You lose control of yourself. So it's never ending. Next image. Now, this is what got me kicked out of Instagram. When I posted this, the 20 mechanisms of injuries. Now, we went through most of this in a very thorough manner last week on the 19th Element. That's on the Cal Fani radio platform. So that's archived. You can go back and see that. But we went through in a thorough discussion of the 20 mechanisms of injury caused by the spike protein when it's injected into the body, 20 different ways that it hurts you. So go check that out, Cal Fani Radio, the 19th Element. That's what we did last week. Next image, please. Can you blow that up, please? Yes, yeah, so this is a report that World Economic Forum, which called for the self-propagating vaccine, Klaus Schwab, to overcome vaccine hesitancy. He invented that term, by the way, vaccine hesitancy. So the World Economic Forum sees synthetic biology as a force to reset living systems. So essentially, this is a confession of what is taking place. They are replacing living systems created by God, the Creator. They are replacing living systems created by God with synthetic biology. So this is artificial intelligence taking over natural biology. And this is coming from the World Economic Forum that basically planned this entire plandemic. If you say plandemic, these are the planners. Next image. Now, this is very interesting. I just stumbled across this. I didn't know that there was a star. Listen, I didn't know that there was a star in the heavens that was named Omicron. But there is. There's a star named Omicron. The same as the variant. And it's found in a constellation that's called the Corona Borealis. And the brightest star in the Corona Borealis is the Omicron star. There you see it. And that's how it looks. It also has another name. Sometimes it's known as the Northern Crown. Let's look at the next image. Blow that up much as you can. This is an actual image of the Omicron star in the Corona Borealis constellation. Is that as big as it gets?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Unless yeah. If you take a screenshot of it, then later you might be able to blow it up yourself, and you'll see that the Omicron star is a red, white, and blue. You can't make this up. Next image, please. There was a red, white, and blue star doing in the Corona Borealis constellation. Who needs those? Oh, there was actually another constellation. I thought there was another image. But right below the Corona Borealis is another constellation. It's called the Serpents. The Serpent. So basically, this is the crown of the serpent that you're looking at in the heavens. So now the coronavirus, what to expect in 2022. So next week on the 19th Element, Cal Fani Radio, I'm going to give what you might call my predictions. And it's going to deal with what's going to happen in the world of health, what's going to happen in the world of wealth. And, of course, when you're talking about health and wealth, you're talking about everything else in between. So that's going to be next week on the 19th Element, What to Expect 2022, Health and Wealth. Next image, please. Can you blow that up? Yes. See, this is actually what is taking place. Let's bring the headline down. Yeah, a little bit more. Bring the headline down. Yes. Operation Extermination, the plan to decimate the human immune system with a lab-generated pathogen. And this is dated December the 8th, 2021. Now, this is exactly what is taking place before our very eyes. I think I showed an image either a week or 2 weeks ago showing that the spike protein, because it enters the nucleus of the cell, causes the B cells and the T cells of your immune system to be degraded. And you lose 5% of your immune function per week. So that means in 4 weeks, in a month, you lose 20% of your immune function. So if you started out, say, with 100% immune function. Let's say your CD4 count, that's what you measure, say, for immune function. That would be one of the blood tests that you would order, say, with an AIDS patient. What's your CD4 count? Let's just say you're in perfect health, you're not an AIDS patient, so your CD4 count is 1,000. That would be a real good number, 1,000. Well, if you got the jab, in 1 month's time, now your 1,000 CD4 count is down to 800. In another month, it's down to 600. In 3 months, it's down to 400. Now, when it gets down to 200, that is the formal clinical definition of AIDS. If you walk into a doctor's office and he drew your blood and your CD4 count was 200, That would clinch the diagnosis of HIV/AIDS. So that's what the spike protein is doing in the bodies of people. It's creating a situation that is literally an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. In other words, AIDS. So this is the deliberate purpose behind the mRNA shot. And you heard Brother Reuben say the Chinese are not taking it, but they want you to take. Next image, please. Now, this is, if you can blow this up, this is what's going on in Washington, D.C. One and done, vaccine clinic served D.C. homeless. But then I got a private communication from someone who said that the way that they induced the homeless to take the shot was they promised them housing. And there were 64 people involved who were promised housing if they got the shot. And within 1 day, 24 of the 64 who got the shot died. You see, so this is truly extermination taking place right on the streets, getting rid of the homeless. They got rid of the elderly last year. Now they're in the process of getting rid of essential workers like truckers, getting rid of healthcare workers, targeting the children, the youth. You see, 5 to 11 vaccine shots now. You see, this is a literal extermination process. And then the people who are left after that, you see, you're just sitting ducks for whatever happens. The military is being specifically targeted. The Air Force is losing pilots in droves. Thousands of Marines, you know, are being discharged from the military. They're no longer in service. So who's protecting the country? Next image. It puts an end to a war, that's for sure. Now look at this. Now this is the only image that I saw. They say this was a tornado. It was 3 miles wide at the base, and it traveled for 227 miles on its track. Now that was just one out of six tornadoes that hit six states. Now, I'm just showing this image because this is just so fantastic. When you saw the total damage that took place, I'm not quite sure it was actually a tornado. Who ever heard of a tornado in December anyhow? They say it has happened before, but not like this. Nothing like this ever happened before. Tearing down brick buildings, this is a tornado? Give me a break. Something happened, that's for sure. But was it a tornado? Is next image, or is that the last one? Oh, yes. Now, this is, if you can blow this up, pilot deaths. Now, these are civilian pilots. These are civilian pilots who were told they had to keep their job flying for these airlines. They had to take the jab. And so 1,700% increase in deaths among the pilots. And this article was basically, there's a list of the names. These are the names of pilots who have passed away as a result of taking the mandatory jab. You see, so this is what happens to you when you comply with the mandates. You die. That's what happens to you. Next. Now this is a little bit out of order. I mentioned this all already. Vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And the point of this article is we should anticipate seeing this immune erosion more widely. And what that means is an explosion in cancer, an explosion in opportunistic infections, and an explosion in excess deaths. So this is what we're looking ahead to 2022. Next image, please. We've touched on some of these issues before, so some of you who are new, you can go back and look at some of the past episodes. We've gone in more detail on some of these things. Now, this is what your COVID passport looks like. And so we want to have one of our own. God bless the child who's got his own. So we want to have one of our own that that allows us to go and come as we please, unhindered. Next image, please. Was that it? Yes.
That was the last one on the video. Then I have the video.
Okay, so now while she's queuing up the video, and I guess we're going a little long tonight, but it's very important information that you're about to see and hear. This is Dr. Vernon Coleman, and he's an expert on things related to virology, epidemiology, and all the rest of it. And so this was a video that he did recently, within the last week, I think. And it really has a chilling title, basically why the vax are going to die prematurely. And so listen closely, because he's not pulling any punches. And he's not giving out a lot of hot rhetoric. He's just giving you the plain scientific facts of what you can expect. And so this is the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. This is the hour of truth. So if you could roll the tape, starting around 3 minutes, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but just maybe about 5 minutes, and then you can find this yourself.
First, of course, there are the heart problems. It seems that the damage to the heart that is responsible for so many fit sportsmen dropping dead or collapsing is likely to affect far more people than we know about. Doctors can hardly remove hearts from living patients to see how many are suffering serious early-stage heart trouble. And it's early days as far as the myocarditis and pericarditis and other problems are concerned. This problem is now a permanent part of life for many, and it was all predicted with great precision. Again, just look back at the videos I've made during the last 2 years. Everything was predicted. The videos are all on brand YouTube. I warned that far, far more will die of the jabs than died or will die of the rebranded flu. It seems, of course, that the heart problems are made worse by heavy exercise. There will, I fear, be sudden deaths amongst those labouring, digging snow or doing heavy gardening. Deaths among the elderly will be dismissed as a result of ordinary ageing. Incidentally, have you noticed that recently the official line is that people who go to the gym are more likely to have strokes or heart attacks? As if simply going to the gym was the problem. No mention of the jab as the cause. They're trying to normalise strokes and heart attacks to cover up the jab problems. This is, I suspect, also why so many young people have been collapsing on the dance floor, The exercise, combined with the heat, has put pressure on damaged hearts, and they've collapsed. I think the stories about people being injected in nightclubs or drinking spiked drinks are largely just that, stories. Stories designed to cover up the real problem. Bizarrely, I've even seen it claimed that global warming is the cause of all the heart problems we're seeing. That really is pushing it. I have no doubt, sadly, that we're going to see more and more people suffering heart trouble as a result of the jabs. The elderly will die earlier than they might otherwise have died, but deaths among the young will continue to shock. Already, there are calls for defibrillators to be put into schools and sports clubs because of the unprecedented epidemic of heart attacks. It's a long time ago, but of course I remember pupils dropping down with heart attacks all the time at school. And strokes, I expect everyone can remember the same. The number of 10, 11, 12-year-olds who just drop down dead in the playground or the classroom. The change in the immune systems of the jabbed will also be of great significance. It's been reported that many of the double jabbed have lost a good deal of their immune system capability. This will mean that they're incredibly vulnerable to many diseases. So, I suspect the vaxxed will be extremely vulnerable to new variations of the flu. They'll constantly be encouraged to accept new jabs, new booster jabs, and so on. The ignorant, the fearful, and the susceptible will become pincushions. The drug companies will make untold billions in profits. The medical profession will be paid huge fees to give the jabs. And the evil conspirators behind the agenda for a world government will move ever closer to their aim. Vax passports will morph, apparently naturally, into digital passports containing financial details and everything else, and the enslavement will be complete. The future is now very, very near. There will be, I fear, serious neurological problems too. These are already developing. The facial nerve palsy is well known, of course, but there'll be many others that were known about back in 2020. Will there be fertility problems? My guess is that there will be. Certainly, no one can say that there won't be. It is astonishing how many women won't have a glass of wine in case it affects their baby, but will happily have an experimental jab. No one knows what will happen to them or their unborn baby. More and more women who've been jabbed and do get pregnant will be born with underdeveloped babies, I fear. Or the babies will have serious health problems, heart problems, who knows? Many babies will doubtless be lost, mid-term, or born dead. Medical history is littered with examples of drugs which everyone said were safe, but which turned out to be not so safe. Thalidomide is just one of the many drugs in that history. And what will happen when those babies grow up? Will they be completely infertile? What other problems will they develop? The mRNA is an entirely new type of product. No one can tell you exactly what's going to happen. No one can tell you what will happen in 5, 10 or 15 years. We have to wait and see. And before anyone sneers, well, let me remind you that there have been drugs which have affected the children of women who took them. The drug diethylstilbestrol, DES, is a manufactured version of estrogen. It was given to pregnant women to prevent miscarriages over 50 years ago.
Okay. It goes on, and you can check it out yourself. As you see, it's on BitChute, and I believe I posted it on my Twitter account. That's where I am now, left Instagram, and so checking out Twitter a little bit, but we're going to set up an independent platform from which we can broadcast the truth, because there's no need staying where you're not wanted. So, So I think those are all of our headlines, and that was a video that I wanted to be shown. So I think at this point we can open up the lines. I was wondering if Curtis Koss called in from the Informed African Americans event forum. Is he on the line, Curtis Koss? If not, we can just open up the lines and
I don't see him.
Okay, let's just open up the lines for reports and testimonials, questions and answers as we close out this evening's Your Immunity Project conference call.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. For the callers who are on Zoom, please raise your hand if you have a question or a testimony, and I will be able to acknowledge your hand. If you're on the free conference call platform, please hit *6 and the number 1. And that'll place you in the queue to ask your question or give your testimony. And those on the Facebook Live platform, please text your testimony or question in the chat. All right. We have Brenda Muhammad.
Go ahead.
Yes. Assalamualaikum. I was just wondering, one thing I just, when I asked the question about the therographer, you said you was going to do tests in regards to, you know, finding out, you know, how we've been affected by it. So when are you all going to start the test? Or the, you know?
Well, you must have missed the report. The second phase of the clinical trial is going to start in January of 2022.
Oh.
But you can go to the website right now, yourimmunityproject.org, and leave your name there if you haven't done so already, and then you'll be contacted when the enrollment process begins. But that's going to be in January, about a month from now.
Yeah, because I'm feeling some effects, you know, like I'm having enlarged thyroids and whatever, so I'm just wondering if it
You're saying that you got the shot or not? I didn't understand.
I did not get the shot, but I had the cotton swab put in my nose 3 times to take the test.
I see.
To see if I had COVID. And I'm feeling something that's not normal that I never experienced before. It seemed like I have a thyroid problem.
Yeah.
Or different things that's going on with my body, and I'm like taking all kind of vitamins and vitamin D and cod liver oil, and it's like it's not helping.
So you had 3 of those nasal swab tests, and when was the last one that you had?
It was like last year. Sometimes in October the 20th, something like that.
Okay. Okay. Well, just go to yourimmunityproject.org, leave your name there, and like I say, it'll be January before we can actually get started. We're just closing out the first phase before we can start the second phase.
But does it stay in your body indefinitely?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Okay.
So thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, one thing while we're waiting for the next call, she mentioned the nasal swab test. It's not actually a test. As many of you already know, the PCR test was found out to be bogus. Its inventor, Dr. Kerry Mullis, he said it was never invented to diagnose clinical illness in the first place. It was always a research tool. He challenged Anthony Fauci to a scientific debate. And next thing you know, Kerry Mullis ends up dead. And so the PCR test, whether it's through blood or through the nasal swab, was calibrated to the common cold. So anybody that was told that they had COVID-19, really, all you really had was the common cold virus. And so that's why the FDA never approved the PCR test for COVID-19. Because they didn't have a valid test sample to calibrate the instruments to. So this is fraudulent from start to finish. Now, the other thing about the nasal swab test is that the swab is not cotton. The material that it's made out of is not what you think it is. It's not the old-fashioned cotton swab. No, these are synthetic artificial fibers that are independently motile. That's the word. That means that they move on their own. It's like a little slinky, like the toy slinky that has the ability to move on his own. That's how these little fibers are that are in the cotton, well, there I go, in the swab, and they are motile. They move like little worms, and they crawl through the tissue into the brain. That's actually what they do. And you can look this up. Johns Hopkins came up with something that they called the Theragripper. Theragripper. And the Theragripper is sometimes in the swab test. And this is a little device to deliver medications, drugs, or vaccines. So in some instances, my belief is that the nasal swab test is just another route of administration of the same vaccine. And the only difference is that the vaccine, or the, and I shouldn't use that word, should I? But the jab that goes in the arm, that puts the contents of the jab, the mRNA and the electronics, that puts that in the body, but not necessarily in the brain, because there's something called the blood-brain barrier that does not allow everything that's circulating in the body to enter into the circulation of the brain. But now when you put that nasal swab up somebody's nose, you're right up in the ethmoid sinus, right up against the cribriform plate, or you break through the cribriform plate, and you're right in the brain. You're right there. You're right there where the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and your pineal glands are, right there behind the cribriform plate. And so the nasal swab test is perhaps a route of administrating the vaccine contents or some other medication. And so I would avoid that. Now, they're saying that, see how they trick the people in some places where they have these mandates, the jab or your job. Okay, they say, well, what's your alternative? Okay, or weekly tests, or sometimes daily tests. Well, they're giving you the vaccine when they give you the so-called test. And you have to know by now that it's a bogus test. So again, they have you going in these silly, jumping through these silly circles with one aim in mind, which is the depopulation agenda by any means necessary. Do we have another call?
Yes, we have Brother Mark from Washington, D.C. Go right ahead, Brother Mark.
Brother Mark.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. So I'm late.
Walaikum salam. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, I was just going to give an update with my brother-in-law, who a little over a month ago was on life support. He's staying here with us at the house now because of the blood clot on his brain. And he has to have physical therapy. He has to have speech therapy and another therapist. And it's very, very bad condition that he's in from a vibrant brother just over a month ago. Just to see him like this now because of the blood clots, because of taking the vaccination.
He had a blood clot?
Yes, the blood clots on his brain, and he went on life support. He was at death's doorstep. Fortunately, they were able to remove the blood clot after an operation, and he's in recovery now, and they said he'll be in recovery for years to come, learning how to function again. So those are the hard cases that go up, and all the others that we're hearing about.
Yeah.
So, I had heard that Ghana now is requiring anybody to come into the country to be vaccinated, or they are going to find the airlines or the mode of transportation how they come into the country. So what I'm hearing is that you won't even be able to get into Ghana, and I'm assuming that other nations in Africa will probably follow suit. I was trying to go to Africa next year, but looks like that probably won't be happening now. So just a little update on that. And that's all.
Okay. Now, do you know what vaccine was administered to you, your brother-in-law, you said, I think? Are you still there?
Pfizer.
He said Pfizer.
The Pfizer. Okay. Well, thank you for that report. I mean, that's not good news. I'm glad that he did recover from life support. But you see, that's a very common side effect of the shot. And it's more common with the AstraZeneca. The blood clotting is more common with the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson. But you said that he got the Pfizer. So it can happen with any of them. It can happen with any of them because they all do the same thing. And then, of course, the problem is, what about other blood clots in the future? And the medications that are used to control blood clotting can also lead to bleeding. You see, so then you end up with a double-edged sword, clotting on one end, bleeding on the other. So these are terrible, terrible things that are happening to people unnecessarily. And that's why we broadcast the truth. We try to let everybody know as quickly as we find out what's taking place. So thank you for that call, even though, you know, it's really not good news. But it's the truth.
We have Ron Douglas.
Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you so much for allowing me to come in. I just called to give you guys an update. Remember I told you that the federal employee situation was set up where we either take the jab or lose our jobs. Well, yeah. On today we received our attestation discipline letter. And that letter says you have 15 days to comply or you will lose your job. And we've decided not to enter even an attestation database because that allows them to track and see who's got or have taken the COVID jab. So we've made up in our mind from the information that we've gathered from this show that the PCR test is invalid. It can't give us a detection of if we have COVID or not. I've taken it twice while I was in the hospital getting my leg amputated, and both times I came up negative for the COVID virus. But now they're saying that we got to stand up and take the virus or lose our job. So we're not doing that, nor are we setting ourselves up in any tracking device. So I appreciate what you're doing as far as educating us on what this vaccine, this mRNA nanoparticle is doing and what the spike protein is doing in the body. And continue to do that. And we've got to continue to fight to find some sort of litigation panel to take on these mandates, which are illegal. Yeah. And we understand that the Republican Congress is trying to defeat Biden's mandate by doing a repeal on it. And so with that being said, we're appreciative to all the governors and all the judges who are standing up against this illegal mandate. And as you can see, I got my mask on, but when I go out, I got to keep one of these on as well. And this is just a face mask. It goes on like this.
A shield.
To make sure that you stay protected from this P spike virus and any other viruses floating around in the air. So again, I appreciate you and thank you for allowing me this time to tell you what's going on with me. But once again, I want to say we've got to come up with some sort of litigation team who can protect us against this illegal mandate. Thank you again.
So where are you calling from? You're in Kansas?
No, sir. I'm in Oklahoma.
You're in Oklahoma?
Yes, sir.
You should get in touch with Curtis Cost and the Children's Health Defense because they do have a team of lawyers. And they are actually taking cases of fighting mandates in New York State, but probably there's a spillover into other states as well. So if you go to Informed African Americans, that's where you'll see the video that we talked about, but that's also where you can contact Curtis Cost with the Children's Health Defense. And then he can put you in touch with the lawyers that are fighting the cases in New York.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much.
You're more than welcome.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there another call on the line as we wind up this evening? I guess it's getting a little late.
We have Portia Bellamy.
Okay, let's take her call and one more after that, and then I think we'll have to call it a night.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I was calling to see, I was getting on to see if what was the best mechanism for me to get in communication with you all. I had a question regarding the Pestimmune. I ordered a case a week ago, and I just wanted to know if I could ask the question about it now, or should I email? I did try to email you on the Dr. Aleem website, so I wanted to know if there was a better email for me to use.
You ordered it a week ago?
Yes, sir.
Well, it hasn't gotten to you yet.
Yes, sir. I got it. I received an email updating saying it was on its way, but I just was wondering because
it just went out the door today.
You said what?
It just went out the door today.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. That's all I was asking about. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that another call?
Do you have anyone, Sister Connie? Oh, okay. We have Brother Carly.
No.
Okay, yes, ma'am. We have Brother Carlito Muhammad.
Brother Carlito, Calfani Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, Doc and family.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, I just wanted to just reiterate that on Calfani Radio, our team has teamed up with the production team of Your Immunity Project on Tuesdays, and we will be having our own recordings on our site, calfaniradio.org. We will be having it on there on inshallah every Friday or Saturday. So we will not be able to, they will not be able to take anything down. And we will make sure that we get everybody's information so that we can keep everybody on an updated status as well.
So what is that website again?
CalfaniRadio.org. We are constructing a specific page just for the information being shared on Your Immunity Project.
Wow, that's huge. That's huge. Thank you. That's huge. Let me just repeat what you just said so everybody understands clearly. What Brother is saying is that he's using the Calfani Radio platform to rebroadcast the Tuesday Your Immunity Project conference call. So for people who can't be present, you know, at 7 p.m., everybody can't be available. But now we're going to have it rebroadcast on Fridays and Saturdays on CalfaniRadio.org. So that's wonderful.
It'll be up there permanently, Doc.
Yes, they can't take it down like they do now, you see.
Yes,
so,
sir.
That's beautiful. I thank you so much.
Thank you,
sir.
And I
should say, there may be others listening. If you have a platform or you have a Facebook group or you have a country club group or whatever, why don't you just contact us and we'll send you a copy of each week's Your Immunity Project broadcast. You can rebroadcast it yourself on your platform or to your group, or you can take it to your church or your mosque or your school, your classroom, whatever you want to do with it, because the information just has to get out there. And everybody just can't be here at 7 p.m. every Tuesday. You know, but so if you have a platform, let us know if you'd like the copy sent to you, and you'll be just like Calfani Radio. You'll be broadcasting the truth far and wide. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take one more call, and then I will call it. That's it.
Okay. Levi Jason, go right ahead. You're on.
Okay.
Anderson, Aruna, my caller ID. I don't know what your schedule is on February the 25th, but if you're not going to be in Savior State, do you mind talking to a group of college, well, it's not just college students, let me not just say that, but a group of people, if I were to go, of course, to Najma and schedule that, or should I elaborate further?
Well, yeah, send the request to Sister Najma, and then we can talk about it off the air, you know. But generally speaking, I like to talk to college students. I used to be a college student, so I like doing stuff.
specifically Chicago University, and I'm trying to just get some of the scatter students that are coming to Savior's Day from, like, the HBCUs. But so far I have, like, 16, but I don't want to keep inviting people. If you do, like I said, you don't even have to come to Savior's Day, but as long as you just have like 30 minutes or an hour to spare.
I used to teach a subject called the proper education of the black student. That would be a good topic. The proper education of the black student. You see, we get miseducated, and that wasn't just what happened in the 1930s. That's happening today, the miseducation of our people. And so we have to start with the students and give them the proper education, proper meaning appropriate for the condition that our people are in. And so, yeah, I would love to talk to some students about those kinds of things. So just get in touch with her, and we'll work it out, inshallah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so I think that's it for this evening. I'm going to excuse myself because this is also my mom's bedtime. So I got to tuck her in, make sure she's good. And Sister Najma, would you please close us out with our announcements? And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you right back here next week, Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. All praise to Allah. That was our mighty Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad. Praise to Allah. He shared a lot of information with us today, and we're so thankful to Allah for him and everything that he does. It's such a blessing to be able to, you know, have someone take time to share, you know, this information with us for free. Say thousands of dollars to have these kind of, you know, sessions. So we thank Allah for him and all that he does. So, Sister Connie, I'm not sure if you were able to get the brother's phone number or not, but if it's not showing up, you can email your request at mail@draaleem.com, and that's mail at Dr. spelled out, Dr. Aleem, Aleem.com, and put in the subject matter, request for the speaking for that college so that I'll be able to see it. So he also asked for anyone who had like a platform, a broadcast platform where you wanted to broadcast the Your Immunity Project event also on your page. You can also send that to that email address as well, and that's mail@draaleem.com, and say that you would like to be on the mailing list to receive the email with the link that will allow you to repost this Zoom conference so that it won't be deleted, because they have the ability just to delete it. So if you have it on a platform, then that information will be saved, and it will be very, very hard to be able to delete, the information. Even if they delete the video, it's already recorded, and it's, it can't be destroyed. So thank you so much. And for the customers who have ordered the individual bottles of Paxamune, those orders should be sent out by the end of this week. So they haven't been sent out yet. We're waiting on the shipment for the individual bottles so that we can send them to you. So we do apologize to you that you haven't received them yet. And as far as the cases, they have already been sent out, picked up today. So you should have received an email stating that your shipment is on the way, and it's going to give you a tracking number. So you get that tracking number, copy it, and then paste it in the UPS.com website, and it'll tell you exactly when you will receive your shipment, you know, what day and everything. So it should have that information updated because they picked it up earlier today. So it should be updated. If it's not updated, check it tomorrow, and it should give you your delivery date. And that is it for me as far as announcements. Sister Connie, do you have anything?
No, ma'am. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Praise be to Allah. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. Unmute yourself. Okay.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin ar-Rahman ar-Rahim maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim wala ad-dallin. Amin. Allahu akbar.
Amin. Allahu akbar. All right, so thank you.
I said, wow, here's a person that's really hard to refute. You know, it's you can't just sort of label and dismiss her, right? We have these labels, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, oh, you must be a Trump supporter, or whatever people want to say. You came in with a lot of backing, a lot of science. So let's start there. What is it that qualifies you to talk about these issues that everybody's sort of discussing, you know, in an armchair quarterback kind of way?
Right. Well, the science of the COVID vaccines is extremely complex. And as a molecular biologist, that's the kind of thing I studied. In fact, when I was at University of Michigan, you know, Jeffrey Chamberlain was there. He worked on the dystrophin gene, and he since went on to go on to do a lot of gene therapy. So I remember him bringing in different conferences, looking at gene therapy with the CFTR gene. So these exact same platforms, when I saw that, I was like, that's what we were doing. You know, the adenovirus vector and the liposomal particles. They started with the adenovirus vector. And so I was familiar with all of that, but not as a vaccination platform. And so I understand the molecular biology, what they're trying to do, what it can do, what it can't do, what some of the risk has been historically. And also, so I also have another one, and that is that as a mom, I actually got out of science and decided to teach because I really, really believe what we teach our young people is just so central. And then I homeschooled my son, and that gave me the time to sort of back up and take a more global perspective. Sometimes when you're in science, you can't see the forest for the trees. You're just really focusing on one little problem. And I had been concerned even in graduate school about vaccines when they added the chickenpox. I was like, I didn't feel that the cost of chickenpox, it wasn't deadly, was enough to warrant monkeying around with your immune system because my degree is actually in cytokine signaling, and that's how your immune system signals. And so we kind of knew that we didn't know a lot, quite frankly, and that we weren't really altogether sure what unintended consequences might come from these vaccines. And so, as I said in my testimony, PhDs are some of the most vaccine hesitant people because they know that these issues are complex. It's not a magic bullet. We've, in our culture, unfortunately, we've started to worship science and hope and pretend that it's a magic bullet, and it's not. There are almost always unintended consequences of things. And so then I saw the kids getting vaccinated more and more and more. Then they moved it to under 2 years. And I said, wait, I was taught that the immune system's not developed enough to even elicit a proper immune response. Why are we doing that? What I didn't know until much later was that in 1986, Congress voted to indemnify the vaccine manufacturers. So after 1986, they were not liable for any vaccine that's on the childhood schedule. Perfect business model. Mandate it for school, no liability. And so as soon as you get it on the schedule, you're good to go. And so you can imagine the pressure on our regulatory agencies to approve these because of all the money behind it and all the money that was getting made. The money that was made off of these catapulted the pharmaceutical industries into a powerhouse of lobbying and just money that they could, you know, you'll notice if you turn on the news, a lot of it's pharmaceutical advertisements. And so are they there to sell you the pharmaceuticals, or are they there to control the content and make sure no bad press is released about the products? I don't know the answer, but I know I'm uncomfortable with that model. So I didn't know all of that, but I was seeing things that didn't make sense from a scientific perspective more and more and more. And several years ago, I took a deep dive into the vaccines with actually PubMed is online. That's where all your scientific papers are kind of stored. It's a library that you can access. We used to have to pay for that in the lab, so I didn't realize I could have access to it. And so I was able to take a deep dive into the primary literature and really see, you know, each vaccine, what the positive and negative, and what I found was deeply, deeply disturbing.
Really interesting. Okay, everybody who just came in, I'm talking to Dr. Christina Parks, and you saw her testimony this week, which you can actually check out if you go to my Instagram, which is The Real Boyce Watkins. You can actually see where I posted her testimony, and I know over 100,000 of you just on my platform alone watched the testimony, but millions of people saw it worldwide. And so hit the like button, share, subscribe button if you haven't done it yet. And I want everybody to know, and Dr. Parks, I'll mention this to you. This is the first time in a while that I've even had an interview where the word vaccine is even allowed to be used. We posted your testimony on one of our YouTube channels, and YouTube took it down, and they said, this is medical misinformation. And I wrote back, and I said, well, she has a doctor from the University of Michigan, and I said cell molecular biology, but you can please correct me. And I said she was testifying before the Michigan House of Representatives, or whatever it was called, and I don't understand why this would be defined as medical misinformation, you know. And they put the video back up, right?
So it's
we got lucky, right? But it was one of those things where I knew when I put it up, I said, you know, this doesn't fit the existing narrative. And I'm going to tell you the truth. My goal in all this, and I'd love to get your help on this, my goal is to be as apolitical as possible. Like, I don't want it to be a Democrat-Republican thing. I just want to know what the right move is. And so I have friends on both sides, and I don't get mad at them because I believe it's a personal choice. But it seemed to me that when you did your testimony, I saw a lot of people cheering, like, yeah, wow. Then I saw a lot of people saying, oh, no, this is crazy. What's going on here? How has that been for you? How has that felt for you this past week or so with your video kind of being all over the earth?
Honestly, I've almost gotten mostly 100% positive feedback, just a couple of people asking questions, which I'm always happy to answer. That's the thing. I'm not going to shut you down and say, you know, if you're legitimately curious, now if you start attacking me or things like that, then I don't have time for it. But I have had in the past many naysayers, and I think the core belief that we want to trust our government, right? We want to trust that the CDC, that our medical professionals, even our doctors, really have our best interest in mind. And I think many of those people do, but they've been misinformed as well, and they haven't had the time or the energy or the inclination to take a deep dive as I have. Or, you know, most people, doctors, are not really familiar with the science at that level, at that cellular, molecular. And really, you know, I wasn't. For instance, there's a virus called SB40, simian virus 40, and in graduate school, we studied this as sort of a prototypical virus that contributes or could cause, you know, we usually say contributes, not cause, but cancer. And so we studied this in a fair amount of depth, but I was never, ever told that it was actually isolated from the polio vaccine. And that is, We were told that vaccines, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that word right. We were told that we were saved from polio by this new scientific breakthrough, but we weren't told that there were actually a lot of unintended consequences of that campaign, and that it actually in many ways looks very similar to some of the things that are going on here. For instance, before the new jab came out. Basically, everyone, if you had paralysis for 24 hours of any limb, you were considered to have polio. After it came out, you had to have paralysis for 60 days or more to be diagnosed with polio. So do you think that the rates went down? There is new evidence that there's a possibility that that different heavy metal and arsenic containing pesticides really played a role as a predisposing factor, because there were also other viruses that caused paralysis, echovirus and Coxsackie virus. And there was never any jab for those. And so those, like, what's going on with that? And so the science is more complex. The history is more complex. And there's been a cover-up. And now there's 6 to 10 different types of cancer where they routinely sequence this SD40 virus from. And so a special mesothelioma is one. And you can go right into PubMed and find those. They're now trying to walk it back, but for a while it wasn't even in contention. And they go to Europe where they, and so here's where it gets really messy. I was like, well, wait a minute, how did this monkey virus get into our medical treatment, right? And the answer is that all viruses are grown on cells. And for a long time they were growing on animal cells. And they were grown on, a lot of them, an animal cell called a monkey kidney cell. And those do not have antiviral defenses. So they're like a Disneyland of viruses. And so when you grow a virus, for the inoculation on that, and you purify it, viruses are very small. You get some that ride along with it. And then when you give those to people, that virus now is transferred to the human. That's one of the reasons, actually, I think this new platform, the mRNA, is actually not grown on cells. So that's one of the reasons I think they're trying to move to a cell-free platform. But my question as a scientist has always been, are you just, you know, trading one set of problems for another? Let's slow down, right? And they've been working on these mRNA vaccines for quite some time, but, none of them had been brought to market, and this one certainly came to market very quickly. And even if that platform were acceptable to me, this viral spike protein is very, very problematic, and you're basically telling all your cells to make it. So anyway, but we got off of the whole polio issue that most people have never heard that story.
Well, Dr. Parks, one of the things that stood out to me in your testimony was that you actually, I remember I said to my wife, her name's Alicia, and I said, this is probably the best testimony I've seen on all this, because I didn't feel like it was politicized. You know, it wasn't like, oh, don't do it or you got to do it. It was like, here's some science. And one thing you said that really got me was you actually seemed to make the argument that if I'm vaccinated against one strain, that if another variant comes out of the virus, that I'm going to be more vulnerable to that new variant. That blew my mind, because that's almost completely different from what the media has been saying. They sort of have placed this idea out, it seems, that the people going to the hospital are the ones who didn't get the jab, and that the people with the jab, yeah, they caught it. And by the way, they are passing it, but they're okay. They're going to be fine. Can you kind of lay out your truth on that based on, what you know?
I don't listen to the media very often, because when I do, it's really, really disturbing. I'm just like, I can't listen to that, because, some of that is just a lie. And so I understand how people who aren't versed in the science can promote that. But in fact, Rochelle Walensky was just on saying that the Delta variant, that basically the vaccine had no ability to prevent people from transmission with the Delta variant. She said that, Fauci said that. I have recordings of them saying that. But apparently the mainstream media isn't echoing that message. I can send you those videotapes, because they said that. Then there was, I gave the example of Barnstable, Massachusetts, where 74% of the people who became ill had gotten the inoculation, and 4 out of 5 that were hospitalized. So that's not what the data are telling us, and it's not what the science is telling us. Now, there's always some variation in science where one study might show one thing and another might show something else because their methods are slightly different, or I mean, there are many, many variables that can could make that happen. But that's not what the data are showing us at all. And in fact, this whole phenomena was a concern of me, of many scientists, including myself. We were hoping it wouldn't happen, but it looks like to some degree it is happening. Until we have enough data in retrospect, we won't know what the whole story is because it's very, very complex. But we've seen this with the flu vaccine, which people have not been told, that if you get it every year, you are more likely to get either the flu or any other non-flu respiratory infection. It mistrains your immune system in complex and different ways that we don't totally understand, but we do understand some of it, so I can oversimplify it. But in reality, we don't even, our immune system is so, so complex, and I believe it was designed by our creator. And so it's a huge act of hubris to think that we can monkey with it and do make it do what we want it to do all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's not to say that we shouldn't at sometimes take life-saving medical treatments. Many people ask me about the monoclonal antibodies. I think that those are, an effective and useful treatment. I understand those, and I don't see the risk. Do I think that there are some negatives with it? Yes, but when you're talking about someone that may have a life-threatening disease, the benefit and the cost to me, the benefit outweighs the cost. So I'm, not unilaterally against everything. It's just a matter of really, I just feel like people are running forward and saying, this is a magic pill, this is a magic pill, and it's not. It's very complex science with some very unfortunate and possible unintended consequences. And the thing is, the vaccinologists and the scientists either knew or should have known about these. And for whatever reason, all of that, and this is why they're censoring doctors. So here's a question I want to ask you. So if we're in the middle of this pandemic, where are all the conferences of scientists and doctors, even if they're online, even if they're on Zoom or whatever, however you want to do it? Why hasn't there been like one every 2 weeks? Wouldn't you think one on therapeutics, one on vaccine design, one on this? Where has that been? One on OSHA standards, engineering control. Nothing. This has been a top-down control by one person, and I don't know why it is. I was just alarmed because none of the policy was following the science. I knew that we had the science to overcome this last summer, and I thought by the middle of summer it would be struck down. I did my research on hydroxychloroquine, very intimately connected with my field, so I understood what they were saying. I said, the science of this medication is stellar. It's been parachuted out for the third world where it was, just given away like candy. There are a few things that you need to be aware of. One is G6-phosphate dehydrogenase mutations in Africans and African Americans, but we know a lot about that. So this was an amazing medication with some of the most stellar basic science I'd ever seen. The top infectious disease expert in the world came out and said, I show that it obliterates viral replication in 6 days, and that basically it turns this around in all my patients. Now, obviously, more studies need to be done, but this is an FDA-approved drug that is safe, and it's been used for decades, for 70 years. And yet, because I'm like, they're like, well, we need to take this inoculation because this is so deadly, but we can't take an FDA-approved medication? That makes no sense. And so there's a lot more going on here. I don't really want to discuss the politics, but what you need to know is that you're not being told the truth, or you're not being told the whole story. Why that is, I can only speculate.
Let me tell everyone, let me jump in real quick, Dr. Parks. Everybody who's watching, I'm speaking with the one and only Dr. Christina Parks, and Dr. Parks gave some stellar testimony that a lot of you saw online. I'm going to put her name up here. And also, if you could, everybody, as you come in, hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button, share this video, because you all know, I don't know how long it's going to be up, but I don't care. I want you all to have facts and truth and make your own decision. And hit that like and share button. That's really important, because we have to support our people that are out to represent our interests and protect the community and support the community. And you guys, I don't think Dr. Parks needs to prove that. She did a great job. And I want to show you something, Dr. Parks. You said a lot that's really made me think. And in fact, I want everybody to know, Dr. Parks is one of the reasons why my wife and I, we don't watch the news anymore. We just watch C-SPAN. C-SPAN, I love C-SPAN because C-SPAN will let you watch the actual press conference where you can actually hear what someone said instead of CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever, where they'll give you their spin on what they said, you know, or they'll take it out of context. It drives us crazy. We're like, no, we just want to hear what they said, right? And so let me show you something. You brought this up, and I actually did research on this, and I want to show everybody this. This is on my Instagram. My Instagram's the Real Voice Watkins, in case you guys want to check it out. And you mentioned this during your testimony, Dr. Parks, and I want to highlight this. This is a Carnegie Mellon study that shows that PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant group of all. This big tall spike. These are the PhDs. These are the people with bachelor's and master's and professional degrees, people with a little bit of college who didn't quite finish. And then here are the people with high school diplomas or less, almost up there with the PhDs. It's utterly fascinating. It almost says to me that sometimes thinking that you know everything because you're following the crowd or doing what everybody else is doing, so a little bit of knowledge can be very dangerous. You either want to have no knowledge or a lot of knowledge, it seems, on things like this, where you either know what the heck is really going on or you don't do anything because you don't trust the government. But Dr. Parks, you brought that up, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. That was really fascinating. I when you mentioned that PhDs are among the group that's the most hesitant to get the shot, I thought about myself. I thought about my sister, who's a medical doctor. I thought about other PhDs and MDs that I know who said, maybe, let me think about it. And so can you kind of speak to that? What made you bring that up during your testimony?
Well, there's this social pressure that you need to be able to follow the science, right? That if you don't want this vaccine, you are anti-science. And nothing could be more further from the truth. Again, science is complex. There are always unintended consequences. And in fact, as I said, those of us who are scientists know that there are often unintended consequences. And until we're very, very certain about something, and they're also the hardest to persuade because we know what we know, right? Other people are like, well, I don't know who to believe. Should I believe my doctor? Should I believe you? Should I believe them? And so they're just kind of like, eeny, miny, miny, mo. Okay, I'll trust them today. We know what we know. And if there's a hesitancy there, it's because we're not comfortable with that science yet. And so there are times when sometimes you wait to see what the unintended consequences are, or maybe you just flat out say, hey, no, that is not safe, or whatever it is. But, you also are able to research, and so many PhDs will take the time to dive into the literature. In fact, they'd probably be more vaccine hesitant if some of them weren't just so busy, and maybe they don't have kids, and they just haven't spent the time to do the research. Because one of the things, again, when I was in graduate school, I didn't learn most of this. I had to go pull the primary literature, and I was like, whoa, most of us are like, where did this come from? Why is this not being talked about? And so, but more and more moms who had vaccine injured children, and unfortunately, many of those moms are Black moms, African-American moms, who, I mentioned that the MMR study that Congress finally said, hey, do the MMR study and prove that the MMR doesn't cause autism. And they did it and found that it caused over, 3.7 times the rates of autism in Black boys that got their inoculations on time versus those who got it late. What would it be if they didn't get it at all? And they checked the data. Those experiments happened in 2002. How many Black boys' brains could we have saved if we had stopped? It's very, very upsetting to me.
Hello, my name is Dr. Christina Parks. I received my PhD in cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy, vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to basically take away our freedom of choice. What I want to address today in this limited time is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their clinical trials at attenuating symptoms for the first variant, which is essentially gone in our population. Right now, the predominant variant is the Delta, and CDC Director Walensky basically said that these vaccines have no ability to prevent infection by and transmission of the Delta variant. So our policy needs not to be built on the hope of what we think something we want it to do, but what the data actually tell us. So do the vaccines prevent the virus from infecting and replicating in the nose and nasopharynx? No. They've only been shown to prevent that replication in the lungs. They're different. The mucosa is very different than the lungs. It's very different than the blood. You inject it to the blood. You make antibodies in your blood. The virus isn't infecting your blood. It's infecting your mucosa, and you don't produce any IgA to neutralize it. In fact, recent studies have shown that the vaccinated, especially with the Delta variant, and the unvaccinated have similar amounts of virus in their nose and throat. In Barnstable, Massachusetts, the CDC tracked an outbreak of 469 cases of COVID. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 of those hospitalized were vaccinated. All right, so maybe they are mandating this because they just didn't know with the COVID. And so my main complaint is with our health agencies and the CDC, who basically know better and are misleading the public. So let's look at DTaP, which the scientists and the CDC have known since 2014, that the acellular pertussis vaccine does not prevent people from getting infected with the pertussis bacteria and passing it to others. In fact, it was never designed to do that. The vaccine was designed to neutralize the pertussis toxin. Pertussis, we know it as whooping cough. It can be fatal for children under 6 months. So neutralizing this toxin saves lives, all right? I'm not going to debate that. But what it doesn't do is neutralize the bacteria. So what happens is fully vaccinated children go to daycare, they pick up that bacteria, and they come home and they give it to their newborn brother or sister. They get deathly ill, and they go to the hospital. Hopefully, our medical professionals are able to save them. But who do they blame? Now the CDC is blaming anti-vaxxers for the limitations of this vaccine design. I suggest that they be transparent and tell parents that although it is preventing severe disease in their children, it is not preventing transmission because we have created a whole class of asymptomatic pertussis carriers who are increasing the disease. Now, the old DTP vaccine that many of you who are my age or older got did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, they knew that it was never designed to prevent transmission. It was safer. It had less adverse events, but pertussis cases have gone through the roof. There's a resurgence in pertussis because of the design of the vaccine, and the vaccinologists know this. They're trying to address it, and so we cannot mandate that something that does not prevent transmission. All right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown that basically there's no difference, there's no statistical difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you get the flu or not. But it's even worse because although that first year it is somewhat effective, it's about 65% effective at preventing symptoms in you, after that it actually has negative efficacy. And I want to address this because it's very important. Vaccines are made to a specific variant, and when that variant mutates, the vaccine no longer recognizes it. And so it's like you're seeing a completely new virus, And because that's so, you actually get more severe symptoms when you're vaccinated against one variant and then it mutates and then your body sees the other variant. So there's the potential, and the science shows that, in fact, with the flu, if you get vaccinated in multiple years, you are more likely to get severe disease, you are more likely to have more viral replication, and you are more likely to be hospitalized, both in adults and in children. We are seeing the same thing in COVID with the Delta variant. And so we are mandating that people get a vaccine that could actually make them more sick when they're exposed to the virus. In fact, this week, a paper came out, and what it showed is that with this Delta variant, when you're vaccinated, your body makes antibodies that are supposed to neutralize the virus. But they were supposed to neutralize the old variant. When they see this new variant, what they're doing is they're actually, the antibodies are taking the virus and helping it infect the cells. All right, that science was just published this week. We need to be looking at the science, and we need our policy to reflect the science, and we also need it to reflect our rights. Okay. And so as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant, followed by people who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many people, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant, are African Americans. 70% of African Americans have not taken this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis, and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics became available, they still did not treat them, and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism diagnosis, and we shredded it and we left it out of the paper. As an African American and a PhD, I want to ask each of you, are we going to exclude 70% of African American people from the workforce and from education? Right, my ancestors did not work this hard. I come from a family that worked very hard, and I'm very aware that my privileges are dependent on the work of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and I have great respect for these people that put me where I am. And yet you're telling me that my son will not be able to be educated if, based on the history of African Americans in this country, that he doesn't want to be vaccinated? All right, so I will leave you with that question. Who are we going to exclude from the workforce? Are we going to continue with discrimination and segregation in the United States of America? Thank you.